Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Prevett, and I'm so excited for today's episode. I'm so giddy because I had the opportunity to chat with a client of ours who I have had the honor of supporting since 2021. And this client, Chris, has also worked with Julie, who is another one of our dietitians on the team who's been with Find Food Freedom forever. So Chris has worked with not only me, but also Julie. So it's been so fun to support him as a team. Chris is an incredible human being. And it's so funny having him on today. I'm like, how has it taken me this long to sit down and interview you? I had the pleasure of meeting him in person this past summer when I was up in New Jersey visiting family because Chris lives in the Jersey area. So we got to have coffee and donuts together. And it was so fun. And I'm just so excited for today's episode because it has been such a wild ride with Chris. We reflect back on his initial paperwork today, where he was when we started versus where he is today. It feels like I'm talking to a different human. He is so vulnerable. He's so open and he's just so articulate. And I think for you as a listener, when you click on this podcast, you can hear me talk about intuitive eating all day long, but it is invaluable, I believe, to hear from our clients and the people that are getting supported by our team and the people that are on these journeys. So I'm so excited for you to listen. And if you're someone who's listening that you're like, wait, what? I can get one-on-one, absolutely free counseling with your team through using my health insurance? Yep, you sure can. So you can click the link in the show notes below. We're licensed in over 25 states. We take over 100 insurance plans. We make it super easy to get your benefits checked. And if for any reason you do not have coverage, we will gift you a free month of our membership, which gets you 3 live group coaching calls. So that's you either get A, free one-on-one counseling, or B, a free month of support with 3 calls. So I never want finances to be what's stopping someone from getting the support that they want and need. So please click the link in the show notes. You can go to Insta, you can go to TikTok and click the link in bio and find that link to get your benefits checked. And without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with our incredible client, Chris. Okay, Chris. So I know it's been a long, long time since our first conversation, but that we've ever had. But I like to ask, how did you find Food Freedom, if you remember? And what made you want to reach out and say, like, I want to look into professional support with that team?
Yeah. So I'm almost sure that I found you on social. I think I found you on TikTok. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. And I've always been aware of my eating issues, my issues with food. I've always been aware of them. I haven't always navigated them in the way that I wanted to, but I've always been very curious about lots of different things when it comes to food. So I was very curious, obviously, around different diets and super ingrained in diet culture and what the new diet was. And so I was always very interested and curious in food and what my reaction to food and how I intermingled with how food was intermingled with my life. So I found some of your videos to be super fresh, not hearing people talk about food in the ways that you were talking about them, not talking about things that I were very common for me, but not hearing them out there in the world being discussed in that way. Mm-hmm. And then it totally resonated. And I'm like, ah, that's something maybe I want to go a little deeper into.
I love that. And to confirm with you, because I have your initial paperwork pulled up here, you did find us on TikTok. And for anyone listening, and for you, it was a walk down memory lane as I was preparing for this. So you filled out your initial paperwork with us on January 28th of 2021.
Wow.
I know. And we're rounding out. Like, it'll be, by the time listeners are hearing this, it's almost 2026, which is incredible. That's like almost 5 years together. I think you're definitely probably the longest standing client that I've interviewed, and probably one of the longest standing clients we've had. So it's been such an honor to work with you. And this is such an interesting interview to do because we're still actively working with you. Mm-hmm. And you have come so far from the person who I met in January of 2021. So it's like, it's even hard for me, like, reading your paperwork. I'm like, this is a different person. Mm-hmm. Like, so,
yeah.
So what I want to share with you, what I think would be cool if you're up for it, is I have your paperwork pulled up here, and I was going to share just little excerpts of what you wrote. And yeah. Then I would love to hear you, like, respond and say, like,
for sure.
Do you still resonate with that? What has changed? Like, those kind of things.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So on the paperwork, we ask, how would you describe your relationship with food and how you would describe your relationship with your body? And we have, you had the ability to check pleasant, neutral, or unpleasant, and then explain why you chose that. So we'll start with food. So how you would describe your relationship with food, you had checked unpleasant. And for why, you wrote, growing up, food was used in many ways more than nutrition. All of my adult life, I have been on some kind of diet and I have an awful relationship with food. What does present day Chris think about that?
Yeah.
Do you still resonate with that?
No, I mean, I resonate that I remember and yes. Like, and that is 100% like what I fully expected you to say.
Yep.
But I am in such a different relationship with food now, and just in general, how I think about food, how I think about like food decisions, like it's like night and day. Like if somebody asked me today, like what my relationship with food is, I would be like, yeah, food is great. Food's amazing. Food tastes good. Food is like, it's an energy source. Like I feel good when I've had enough food. Like, I mean, it's a totally different, like my initial reaction is so different from where I was when I answered that. And I was probably in a better spot when I started here than I had been a few years before even that. And those were my answers in a good place at that point.
Hey, it's a journey, right? It is a beautiful journey. And I mean, yeah, how would you just explained your relationship with food, but I almost want to like give stories to people. I'm trying to I'm like replaying all of our previous sessions together where I would even remember a part of you like telling me about like going into a gas station and buying food and be like, so are you sure I'm allowed to have that? Like, I feel like you were always waiting for me to say like, nope. And here's like,
that's the thing you're not allowed to have. Like, yeah. That's the one. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like the thing that like sticks out in my head the most, cause I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like
I want to hear what,
it was like a donut situation, but like the thing that like I always go back to, and it's funny because I love coffee. Like I drink iced coffees multiple times a day.
I was going to say this week, I think I've gotten at least two pictures of your coffee.
working on one during this. And I remember one of our conversations, and it's probably like one of those things that hit me the most that stayed with me, which was like, I remember saying to you, I don't know how I like my coffee. Mm-hmm. Like I know how I'm supposed to take my coffee. I know that I'm supposed to have skim milk, or I'm supposed to use Splenda, or I'm supposed to have the sugar-free syrup. And like, I remember you asking me on one of our sessions, like, well, how do you like your coffee? And I was like completely stumped. I had no idea how I actually enjoyed my coffee, because I just was so conditioned to the point of like, this is the way I've been told I'm allowed to have my coffee. Yeah. Like, this is the only acceptable way. Like, you can't have half and half in your coffee. You can't have the sauce. Like, you have to have the sugar-free syrup, you know? Yeah. And like, and that to me was like one of those like major unlocks of like, who is telling me I'm not allowed to have my coffee? Like, so I remember going on this little journey of trying different things in my coffee and like, oh, I don't like that. Like, I definitely, but I don't like that because I don't like it, not because I'm not allowed to have it.
Yeah, because and the taste like, does not satisfy you.
Yeah. And like, now I'm like, I get so excited when like a coffee chain comes out with their new flavors and I get to try those new flavors to see if I love that new flavor or if I don't like it. Versus like, oh, I can't have the pumpkin spice latte because I know how much sugar is in that. And I know how many calories are in this. And like that would completely dictate me getting to the point where I never knew how I actually liked my coffee. And so for that, like that was like so crazy to me, like until we actually like had that exchange, I started like wondering the same thing. And I remember asking you, like, what if I like the low fat yogurt more than I like the full fat? And like, you're like, that's okay. And I'm like, okay, because like, I don't want to like the low fat just because it's low fat. And you're like, nope, you can try them both and choose the one you like. And like, that was such a huge, like learning and like a huge turning point for me. Was like this, like, and quite frankly, like one of the more exciting parts of this whole journey was getting to try things and like relearning what I like versus what I had just been conditioned to accept as what I'm allowed to have.
Oh my goodness. That's so profound. Thank you for sharing that.
It's huge for me. Like that was such a big one for me.
I love that you brought that up because that is something that it's such like a simple question when you say it out loud, like, what do you actually like? And the amount of times clients will say this similar thing as you or just like kind of go blank stare. And they're like, I don't know, because every single decision around food or beverages or whatever has been how many calories or like, does it meet this rule or is it in this portion size or like all of these things where it's like, no. I'm asking you what satisfies you. What do you enjoy? And it's like, oh, I've never made choices based around enjoyment before.
Yeah.
So that is so incredible. And thank you for painting that picture, because I think so many people listening can probably relate to that. So we're going to shift gears here and do the exact same question, but related to body image. So for how would you describe your relationship with your body? You wrote unpleasant. And when asked to explain why, you wrote, as an overweight gay man, I have grown up being told that my body type is not very well accepted in my community. This has been a long journey, and there are moments where I feel okay, but most times I am very unhappy with it. Mm-hmm. So what's coming up for you?
Yeah, so very, yeah, spot on. And like, look, I think the as hard as the food part has been and how long that has been a struggle and the that journey, I think I felt body was much harder and like, and is like more of a continuous struggle.
Yep.
Because I think with food, a lot of the food stuff I don't know. I felt like I had more control over. It was more like there was stuff happening within my house that I could control, that I could like work on stuff. Whereas I felt like body, depending on how much influence you give the outside world and how much your brain wants to work against you in the outside world, it's a much harder hill for, at least for me, it was much harder. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, like, it's all tied together because like, as I started getting better with food, like I would get into a place where like when I was thinking of food, like in terms of like if I ate something bad, like I would think of what is the downstream impact on body for mm-hmm. making that decision. And I would see things that didn't exist, right? Like I would say like, oh, because I ate that donut yesterday, I now cannot wear this to work tomorrow. Mm. I don't like how this is like ridiculous, right? Like that donut didn't make that shirt fit the next day or not mm-hmm. fit.
Yep.
But that's how like I would tie those together. So as I started getting better with food, it allowed me to at least drop some of the stuff that I had with body. And it's funny, like for both of them, like I found the thing that helped me the most and continues to, because although I would say like I'm in like a night and day place with food, body, I'm significantly better than where I was. But like that's the one that I think is the constant like nagging, yep. you know, in the back of your mind kind of for me. And like the thing of me getting comfortable talking to myself and like checking in with myself has been like one of those things that I think was a big turning point for me, to be able to like ask myself when like either different thoughts popped up in my head, like doing like the fact check and like, is this real? Mm-hmm. Is this a fact? Is this a feeling? And by the way, both of them are fine. It's okay if it's a feeling, it's okay if it's fact, but like, let's call it what it is and let's deal with it for what it is. Mm-hmm. If this is a feeling, let's think about like, why am I feeling that way? What made me feel that way? If it's a fact, well, then it's a fact. Let's deal with that in a different way. But sometimes like they get merged in and like, yep. you think your feelings are facts when it's not. It's just like something's causing you to feel that way. And like, I'm constantly checking in with myself. And even like with food, I always used to have this thing where like if something was in the house that I considered bad, like I felt like I had to finish it. Like mm-hmm. it was like it would just like be in my head that the package of Oreos was still in the closet, right? It was still there. Even if I was full, wasn't hungry, it would just always be nagging. And like I would always have to remind myself of like, hey, whether you have it, whether you don't have it, it's gonna be there. If it's not there, you can get some tomorrow. You can DoorDash it. It's 2025. Like you can, like you have access. Like this is not the last cookie you're ever going to eat. Like, and just doing those kind of like reality check-ins, like to help calm some of like what was going on in my head has helped mm-hmm. me a lot. You know, and there's like times when, and I've had to come to the realization that my body changes having nothing to do with whether or not I'm like eating a ton or on a diet or doing this, like my body's going to continuously morph. Like that's going to happen. And one day these pants are going to fit really well. And a week from now, they may not fit really well. And that could be for 100 reasons that might happen. And it's not just because I made bad decisions in the week before. And like that has helped because like, you know, you want to take credit when the number goes down, but then you want to like find the blame for when the number goes up. And it's like, hey, like your body's just going to keep going up and down. Like yeah. that's just how it works.
Yes. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I love your transparency too of like the body. I think the body image journey is a continuous one that we will all always have. There's not like an end point where it's like, okay, everything's perfect and great. And again, our bodies are changing. So it makes sense that this journey is ever changing. And I think about some of the sessions you and I had together and how we had conversations around body that look so different. Like one session, I'm pretty sure I was like in your closet with you virtually and we were talking about your clothes. Or one session, I think you were packing for vacation and we were talking about how that can impact it. And then another session, I remember us chatting about, I think someone who came, like ran into you and like complimented uh-huh. you mm-hmm. about your weight, thinking your weight went down. And we talked about that. And you're like, can we talk about how this made me feel? Yeah. And so like all of these like you said, your body goes out there in the world and there's these constant triggers getting thrown at us. So it's just this ever-changing thing that we are always having to work at. So is there anything, I know you had said, I love the example you gave of like feelings versus fact and kind of working through that. Is there anything else you can think of that was a big aha moment for you with body image in the work over the years?
Yeah, I think the other one for me, and you were kind of leaning there too when we were talking, was when, like, I'm a big fan of like knowing like when is like what's my success metric, like, right? So for me, when I was on diets, like my success metric was a number.
Yep.
And like, so I'm always trying to find that. And the thing that like I got into for body was I was never going to get to a place where I was one of these people that was just like, I love my body every day. Like, this is most amazing thing ever. Like, I'm so body positive. Like, that was never going to be the case. But like, I started building in my head, how often is my relationship with body stopping me from doing things or causing me to like feel a certain way? Like, how quickly could I get out of it when it enters my head? Like, those became my success metrics, because mm-hmm. it was unrealistic to think those thoughts were never going to pop in my head.
Yep.
That I was just going to be like, this was going to be amazing. And like, for me, I had to replace those with like, okay, so I only had those thoughts like 5 times this week, and they only lasted for like 10 seconds because I was able to quickly pivot out of them. And like, those became like the success metrics for me, was like, how quickly could I address those and then turn it around to make it that it didn't ruin? Because I remember we talked about like many vacations where body just completely like ruined my experience. Yeah. Like, it just ruined. Like, and by the way, some of it wasn't even real. It was like the fear and anticipation that I wouldn't be able to do something led to me just completely like not even trying to do it. And like, and I remember we worked through like different things that I could do leading up to that vacation, just to mentally make me feel more prepared. So that I, it wasn't even like, it's not like, it wasn't like a marathon that like we were trying to prepare that I could physically do it. It was more like, so mentally I would be able to be in a place where I could feel confident that I would do it or try to do something. And I think for me, that was a big, another big unlock, which is there's pre-work before some of these things. It's not just like, oh, just by doing this automatically when you go on this trip, you're going to feel great and you're going to feel fine and all of that. It's like, what could we be doing to lead up to you feeling like we're building your confidence, we're building your toolbox, so that when it does come up, you can quickly kind of put it back where it belongs and not like sit on the bathroom floor in the Airbnb rocking, you know, like what are those things? And I think that was a big, for me, a big takeaway on not so much how do I eliminate feeling that way, but like, how do I deal with it? How do I quickly like give it the space, because it's real. So like, allow that feeling to come in, but then quickly, how do you get it out and move forward?
Oh, I love that so much. And another one I'm thinking of too is like, how can we lessen the triggers? Because we can't, right? Like, we can't. Mm-hmm. But I do remember us talking about packing for a vacation, because I think my homework was like, get a new wardrobe. And we were like laughing. We were like, oh, David, sorry, I have to go shopping. But I remember, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but there was like one vacation that was earlier in your journey where like you had packed something like it didn't fit before the vacation. Mm-hmm. So then like after you were reflecting and you're like, why did I think that bringing that was going to support, like, and it's funny now, but like, and then later on you had vacations where you had like so many options and you had some new pieces you're excited about and you knew that everything that was in your bag fit your body comfortably.
Yeah.
And so it's like setting yourself up as best you can. And like you said, having that toolbox that things are going to come up. Negative thoughts are going to come up. I'm a dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor. Like, it still happens to me. Like, we're human. Yeah. And it's how do we have those tools, like you said, to come back from it.
And I think, like, and that one in particular, like, I remember, like, there was the whole thing around, like, if this shirt, like, fit you once, on it, on like all the stars aligned, and it happened to like just fit you, why do you think like bringing that on vacation where you're, you know, you're having a good time, you're not thinking about anything, like, you know what I mean? Like, why do you think that like that's a good idea? Like to set yourself up like that the stars were going to align while you were on vacation. I remember it. And I remember trying to put that shirt on and being like, oh my God, I must have gained 20 pounds since I wore this shirt the last time. And it's like, I mean, I don't know that it really ever fit. Like maybe just that one time it fit, like, cause the earth was kind of turned, but like, it's like, I think like setting yourself up for success, like making sure that like what you're bringing, you're comfortable in, not that it just does it fit, like, but are you comfortable? Is this something that you're going to be comfortable with? And, you know, I remember bringing like multiple things after that. One of the other things that I really struggled with body was on those trips, I felt like I wasn't in a position where like if something didn't fit or I forgot something, that my size was easily found in a vacation destination. Like I wasn't in like a, you know, middle anywhere in the US that you just like go to a store and you could find something. And even that's hard sometimes. But like when you're on like one of these vacations, you're on a cruise or something like that. If you're not a small or medium, like you're going to struggle to find something. So like that added pressure of like making sure what you bring is going to definitely fit, and like that being a cloud over you when you're going on that vacation, like there are things you can do to kind of avoid some of that, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Cause I mean, that goes back to like inclusivity, right? And how our, just thinking about how accessible, or let's say inaccessible, clothing stores are in America too.
Yeah.
How it's ridiculous. I think the average size, I know the average size female is a size 14, and that's usually not even carried in stores, which makes literally no sense.
Yeah.
But like you said, doing those things beforehand to ease that and making sure you have what you need can be so helpful. So this question I have, I'm interested to see your thoughts. Now, I know, I believe you had worked with dietitians previously at ERC before working with Fine Food Freedom. But before you started working with us, or maybe dietitians in general, like what was your expectation of the care you were going to receive or what it was going to look like? And then what was it actually like? Like if you're talking to someone and they're like, well, what is it like working with a dietitian like at Fine Food Freedom? How would you describe that?
So, you know, what was interesting for me, and like I wasn't necessarily in the market for a dietitian. Mm-hmm. Like that wasn't like, I wasn't like actively seeking it out. I had done the program with ERC, which like completely, you know, was huge and it was great. And it was a great starting point. And I was always looking for like, okay, that was good. What, like, how do I continue to grow in this area? And like, I did not have the best experiences with dietitians in the past. It was very much like, I'm going to now tell you what you're supposed to eat. I'm going to tell you how much of these things, and we're going to like have the circle and we're going to break up the plate and we're going to do the whole thing. And like, so it's not like I was looking for that because I felt like I had made some progress in ERC. And I think that's what made you guys stand out so much, because it was such like a completely different take on any experience I had ever had, that my first assumption was that you weren't a dietitian. So that's
a huge compliment.
That was my first reaction. And then when I found out you were, I'm like, oh, she's totally getting kicked out of that. Like, you know,
or like, you're like, she's going to trick me and be like, see, you're not allowed to eat this. That's why you had that fear.
I definitely thought that I was going to break you at some point. Like that at some point you were going to be like, yeah, you're right. You're not allowed to eat seven donuts. Like, yep, that was the number. Seven was that the number. Was and you pushed me until we got to me saying that you couldn't have that. Like, I really thought that for a long time, that we were going to eventually get to the thing that you're like, okay, I was fine with everything else, but like,
not that.
Yeah, you can't have that. You can't have McDonald's and Wendy's on the same day. Like, and you can't do that.
I love that you brought up, like, you've had not so good, you know, experiences with dietitians. Not that I wish that on you or anybody, but it's a very common storyline that we hear from our clients, thinking that we are going to be the food police. So, okay, so that's what you thought. You weren't looking for a dietitian. I don't think I knew that. I probably just assumed you were looking for one. So then what has the support been like? Like, how would you describe it to someone of how we support you?
First of all, I think it was probably a blip on the algorithm that you probably popped up, because I was probably like in some kind of diet algorithm. Yes. And then like somehow you must have said diet and like,
it, I was doing a lot of like diet skits.
Snuck
then.
You in. Like,
so yeah.
Snuck you in.
I love that.
I will tell you and for me, like, I think the reason why I'm still like working with you guys, because what my needs have changed like throughout.
Yep.
And like, I'm still finding value in like, in this part. Like, it's so funny, because I remember I mentioned this to my husband at one point, like a year ago. And I think we were going through like an insurance thing and trying to figure out like what was covered, what wasn't, because I had switched my insurance. And like, he's like, well, do you still need it? Like, you feel like, it seems like you're in a good place. And I'm like, I looked at him like he had 10 heads. And I'm like, yeah, like, I get it. Like, I don't need it in the same way that I needed it at the beginning. But like, now, like, the conversations in our sessions are, they're just different. Like, they're, but the things still pop up. And we're talking about, like, you know, I never like really would cook much before. And now, like, some of the conversations are talking about how I can do more in terms of, like, you know, bringing meals together. And like,
I've been in your freezer before.
Right,
I've been in your fridge. You take me places.
It's just like, for me, the conversation like has evolved to the point where like, I also know that if I ever have a like full blown like issue with food, and like, or if I'm like, I remember like a few, like 2 months ago, I had a session where I'm like, look, like, I've really been neglecting movement. Like, mm-hmm. I have complete, like, and I want to start doing something around movement. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what's holding me back. Like, this is what I think of when I hear movement. And like, I haven't wanted to talk about movement in years.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so for me, like, that's an area that I'm like, I want to start talking about it. Now, I don't know what that's going to lead to, but like, the conversation just evolves a lot. And for me, like, I felt like, what I thought was also very different with working with you guys is, there's this like, it's not like you're showing up with an agenda. Like, you're not saying, these are the four things I'm supposed to talk to Chris about on week 17.
Yep.
Like, it is like, what's going on with you right now? And like, you might have thought we were going to talk about something else based on the last time we talked.
Yep.
But like, something's hitting me right now. And like, we would always start out with, what's happening with you right now? And like, I really felt like it was very much customized to what I needed in that moment.
Yes.
And like, and it's funny, because sometimes like, I'm like, I don't think this has anything to do with food, or I don't think this has anything to do with body. And you're like, it does, but it's okay. We'll get there by the end of the session. You'll see the connection, but like, let's just talk about it.
Yes.
And I do think like that, for me, was unexpected, and what has probably kept me going back. Because I remember, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know that I need the call. Like, I feel really good in this. I'm like, I'm still going to do it, because like, I was surprised, like, by just having that space, something would come up. and we would get to talk through something. And sometimes they were super light. Like sometimes it was like able to be really light. It didn't have to be that I was in this really dark place.
Yeah. Or like celebrating your wins, like recognizing how far you've come. I know there's many sessions that you did feel in a good place and it's like, all right, well, let's recognize that like a year ago, this vacation, this holiday, this whatever would have looked so different.
Yeah. I remember even just recently, like I went through a pretty traumatic experience. And like, I remember like my first session after that, talking about how, like how much worse that situation could have been if I was worried about what I was eating during that situation, how, if that I, that, oh, my pants were a little tight. Like I didn't think about that stuff all. Like I was able to focus on what I needed to and not like, cause I could have made myself feel 10 times worse.
Yep.
If I really sat there and thought about what I was eating, what I was like, how clothes were fitting me. Like, and I feel like where I am today, it allowed me to focus on what was important, not let that stuff make the situation worse and just have it be like, yeah, maybe I'm eating a chicken parm hero tonight because that's what I needed to do while I was like, that was the food I needed to get while I was doing this and while I was doing this. And like, you know what I mean? Like it just, I don't know that like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, that wouldn't have been a whole nother layer on top of a really hard situation.
Totally. I think that's really relatable for a lot of people because when we go through traumatic situations, breakups, loss, whatever it may be, when we feel any type of grief or sadness, it's easy to like tie that into our body and take it out on our body and use our body as the scapegoat or to start restriction because we can't control X, Y, and Z. So, okay, we're going to restrict. Or the opposite. Well, let's get lost in binging because we can't control. And so again, none of that is air quotes bad or morally bad. It's just recognizing how food and body plays into trauma. And it shows that you have built a lot of self-compassion and a lot of tools for yourself to be able to say, this is what I'm feeling and this is what I need, period.
Yeah.
And so that's incredible to hear. So as we close out, because you know I could talk to you forever, if a friend came to you, a colleague came to you and said, hey, I'm thinking of working with Find Food Freedom, what would you say to them and why?
Yeah. So it's funny because this has happened.
And I was going to say, I feel like we've had these conversations.
I'm trying so hard. I think for me, what I keep telling people is like, just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Just talk about it. Like, just have a conversation and see how you feel. I think for me, and I think for a lot of people, diets give you a point that you feel like there's some structure. And I think a lot of people will look at intuitive eating as losing that structure and having it be like a complete free for all. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, I think people are really scared that like they can't handle the freedom of being able to have, because they think being able to have anything means having everything.
Yeah. All the time. Okay? Right.
And all the time. And it's one of those things that I think when I've talked to a friend of mine, I've said like, it's not that, it's having the ability and having the freedom to have that thing. And I tried to do the whole explanation of like, trust me, if you allow yourself to have Oreos every day, you're not going to want Oreos every day. Like, that is, you want Oreos because you haven't allowed yourself to have Oreos. So you will eat all the Oreos that you have in your house.
Yes.
Like, and we've had this whole thing, but like, I try to tell people like, it's worth the conversation. It's worth hearing it out, because I totally get that it's like having that kind of like losing that structure is scary. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super scary. There's something comforting in knowing I'm only allowed to have X points worth of this food. There's comfort in that. And like, I think losing that and saying you have as much of that as you feel like you want or need is really scary. I think for me, I try to tell people, like, you've got to, like, I hate to say trust the process, but you've got to, like, trust having those conversations, because you do realize that's not what this is. Like, it's not a free for all. It's not telling people you should have everything all the time, 24/7, just like, but it's you're also not telling people what not to have, how often, and all of that. And that's hard, because it runs so contrary to everything, like, you've been taught through this whole journey, you know?
Yes. I love that. That's really touching on people's number one fear, I think, of like, well, I'll never stop eating, or I'll eat everything and anything. And so I love that idea of just having the conversation, being curious, being open-minded. I always say it's not my responsibility to convince people to do this work, to defend it. Although sometimes in the beginning, when I kind of switched over, I wanted to have, I know we've talked about that, like those conversations with loved ones or like Aunt Cheryl at a party. And it's like, it's not my responsibility. But if people want to engage in that conversation, it's bringing that curiosity and just having an open mind. And so I just thank you so much for sharing this. Your story is going to help so many people. And is there any last thing you're thinking, anything you want to leave people with, anything?
I think it's definitely just that, like, it's an ongoing thing. And this is just like a great tool to have, like, in that fight, like, because that's to me what it's all about, is just being able to have the tools to deal with things as they come up. And I think that this has been one of those tools in my toolbox that I go in every single day. And I'm like, okay, this is not real. I know better. I know this. And I think, like, it's a tool worth investing yourself in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.